All right, Revelation study 2. I don't have a sheet for you for next week. I'll probably, if I get it before Sunday, I'll give it to you. Otherwise, we'll just give it out next week and look at some other stuff. So you guys, anybody fill out the Revelation study? All right. You guys have a copy of that? All right. All right, so Revelation study 2, looking at chapter number 4. And I'm in John. I don't know why. Okay. Revelation study 2, looking at chapter 4. All right. In verse 1, John looked and beheld what open in heaven? A door. Now, if a door is open, something's happening. Either somebody's coming in or somebody's going out, right? So the door was open in heaven, and the first voice he heard was, as it were, a trumpet talking with him. So when we're looking at that trumpet and that trump, it sounded the last trump. That's why I'm not 100% sure what to believe about that, because people say, well, that trump is the noise that's made with the trumpet. Okay. But God's voice is also like a trumpet. So, and also his voice is likened to thunder. And different things in the Bible, it talks about God's voice. We did a study on God's voice a while, you know, probably a year and a half, 2 years ago. But that's one of the things that's like thunder. Another thing is like a trumpet. So a lot of people say, well, when the rapture happens, it's going to be at the Feast of Trumpets and the sound of the last, when that last trumpet blows, that shofar, whatever's going on, blows, that's when we're getting out of here. But I'm not going to turn to the passage, but if you remember the passage, it says, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. So the voice of the archangel might even sound like a trumpet, I don't know. But then it says the trump of God, which doesn't have to be a trumpet at all. That could be his voice that's like a sounding instrument. That's like it compared to a trumpet. And what do they use trumpet for? Wake up. It's time for war. Time for judgment. Different things God uses judgment for. He uses his voice for that. So it could be at the take up that we hear the sound of his voice. That's the last trump. And if you remember Paul in Acts chapter number 9, Paul heard his voice, but the rest of the people heard thunder. And they looked around seeing no man, but they heard a voice. They heard a sound, but Paul heard his voice. Remember what the Bible says? That he has his sheep and his sheep hear his voice. Well, Paul heard his voice, but the other people didn't hear it. They heard a thunder. He was directly talking to Paul. And that, since his sheep hear his voice and there are other sheep that are not of the fold of Israel, which is the church, according to John, I believe it's John chapter 10, he's talking to Israel and tells them, I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and his sheep hear their voice. So there's a good likelihood that the voice of the archangel and then the trump of God is God's voice, where Scott will hear, come up hither, Scott. Bill will hear it. Everybody here is saved will hear their name. We'll be out of here, and the world will hear great thunder. There's a really good chance of that, because that's what happened when Paul heard him. Paul was talking to him and heard his voice, and the rest of people just said it thundered, heard it thunder. And could you imagine that? All the lost folks hearing this giant thunder like they've never heard before, and then all of a sudden there's a bunch of people missing. Cars driving off the roads and stuff. And praise the Lord, I got full coverage and it won't even matter. It won't even matter. I'm going to take it off the car tonight. It won't matter when that happens. But it's just amazing. I think we try to humanize the Bible so much that we really miss a lot of stuff, because I really don't believe that's a trumpet at all. Now, could it be at the Feast of Trumpets? Absolutely, it could be. But I don't think it's connected directly to them blowing that shofar. They might get done with the shofar and the Feast of Trumpets be over 10 minutes past that, and God say, come up hither, and then, you know, all Israel and all the lost folks that are around the world, Israel is not saved, they'll hear that thunder. I believe that's a really good likelihood. I'm not telling you that's 100%, but it really looks like it. I mean, why would God give us details when he's dealing with Paul and stuff like that if it's not important? There's nothing in that Bible that's an accident. We just don't know exactly where to plug it all in all the time. But that looks like a really good possibility, because it says the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. not the trump of Moses or Elijah, whoever's over there blowing the trumpet. You know, whatever Jews over there blowing the trumpet or blowing the shofar. What's that? Absolutely. Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. And what's the most important thing to God? I worship for the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth that has magnified thy word above all thy name. You think his voice isn't important to him? He's not going to go, I feel bad even saying it like this, but I mean, a lot of people got the idea he's going to be like, hey man, come on up. That's not God. It's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible is going to say, come up hither in a way that's just, that we couldn't even handle hardly. Just, we're going to be vacuumed out of here. And the rest of the world's going to be stuck. That's why I say I believe it could possibly be at the Passover, time of the Feast of Passover. Because the trumpet doesn't have to be the Feast of Trumpets. I've also heard they blow trumpets at every one of their feasts. I don't know about all that stuff. But, I mean, like I said before, he come before and he passed over and didn't destroy all those that were under the blood and didn't take them out. He took out the ones that weren't. The death angel got them. What if he come by? I mean, he could very likely come by at the Passover and say, I'm taking those that are under the blood and leaving those that aren't. Do the opposite of what he did in the Old Testament, you know? Except take us alive. But, you know. But I don't know. I don't know for sure. It's interesting to think about. We can hypothesize or postulate or whatever we want to do, but the fact is we got a book that no man can figure it all out. We just can't figure it all out. But there's some really interesting stuff in here like that. So the voice which, the first voice he heard was as it were a trumpet talking with him. And then in verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, the door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will shew thee things which must be hereafter. So the commandment that John heard in verse 1 was, come up hither. And John being a type of the church, I believe that's exactly what we're going to hear. I think we'll hear our word with it, our name with it. David, Scott, Linda, Bill, Linda, Charlotte, Grant, Robert, Reed, Alyssa. I don't want to miss anybody because y'all think things I'm wrong. But I think we'll all hear our name and come up hither. Amen. Now, come on now. I've been a Baptist long enough to know how this works. I try to cover all my bases. I'm always going to upset somebody. when there's fewer people here, it's easier to get everybody. Night, I think he thinks I'm lost. No, but I got your name, so I believe you're all saved. And if you're not, you need to get saved. In verses 2 and 3, Brother Scott, you want to read 2 and 3? Yeah. So in verse 2 and 3, John was in the and beheld a throne. So obviously, you know, Paul, when he was talking about seeing in the third heaven, he said, I knew a man about 14 years ago, whether in the spirit or out of the spirit, I cannot tell. He seen into the third heavens, which is where God lives. We got three heavens. You got the where the clouds, where the birds are, where the stars are, and where God is. That's why the Bible says in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. He created one heaven, then he separates it out, makes it into three heavens, where the birds are, where the stars are, and where God is. So Paul went to the scene into the third heaven, and he couldn't tell because he'd never been in that situation before. He couldn't tell in the spirit, out of the spirit. He couldn't tell, or in the body or out of the body. He didn't know exactly what was going on, but he did see in the third heaven. That's why he was fine with dying. That's why he was like, oh, chop my head off, I don't care. I'm still going to preach about Jesus. I mean, once you get a good view of heaven, it really don't matter. I mean, you know where you're going, right? So, it's like, I hope Alibaba and the boys don't start flipping their lids while we're still here. I hope we're out of here before they start doing their stuff over here like they're doing it around the world, but hey, I'm saved. You know, sharpen your sword. Don't horse around. Do like the dentist. I don't want 45 minutes. Let's just get her done. But Paul wasn't afraid to die because he knew where he was going. And he beheld a throne. So that throne is always connected with a judgment and a king. So who was on the throne? Yeah. The Lord Jesus Christ was seated upon the throne. And we're not going to go into all the details now because for sake of time, because I want to go over a few other things. But when you look and it talks about he was looked upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight, likened to an emerald. See, that's another reason it just makes me sick what they're doing with the rainbow flags and stuff. Because what you're looking at here is you're looking at something that's holy and pure and majestic and right and good, and they're taking it and perverting it, and it's straight out of the pit of hell. It's Sardis. Sardine, Sardin, Sardis. I don't know exactly. I've read what they all are, what they all think they are, but I'm not sure. They're all just like we've got emeralds and diamonds and rubies. They all match up with something that we understand in English, in our language now, but I can't remember how they all line up. It is something precious. And when, see, the reason there's a rainbow around the throne is the light of Jesus Christ goes through all those emeralds and diamonds and stuff, and it refracts all that light and makes that rainbow. But that rainbow comes from him. That's why the devil uses that perverted version of their rainbow. Because that rainbow, that true rainbow, that godly rainbow, comes from Jesus Christ, the true light. Well, that fairy rainbow comes from the false light, the Antichrist. That's of the devil. And, you know, they are very flippant about it. You know, they're like, they're very flamboyant, if you will, about it. I guess that's a good word to put with them. But they're like, yay, our rainbow. You know, they make a big deal out of being a pervert. They make a big deal out of perverting what God has made. And, I mean, look, the bottom line is we're a mess, and we all have some goofed up things, and we've all perverted our life somewhere in some manner, but not that type of perversion. I'm not talking about that. But they make a big deal about that lifestyle being, and they thumb their nose at God, and that the devil likes them using the rainbow because of this. They use it because, you promised you won't flood the whole world again. Okay, he's not going to do that, but he's going to burn this place up. It's going to disintegrate it. So, I mean, it's sick. Yeah, they got all that stuff on there right now. Yeah, I know, they're starting to. Yeah. I remember years and years ago, it was that Care Bear thing with the rainbows and all that stuff. And they just kind of transitioned from into this perversion for now. They've got their kids as walking billboards for the LGBTQRSTU, whatever. And it's wicked. But see, if you and I, even if we dare say, well, that's just not right. You're a hater. You're a hater. And if one of them come up and punched you in the mouth and you drove them in the ground, it would be a hate crime. And it is. I hate being punched in the mouth. I don't like it. But I definitely don't, you know. It would be a hate crime. But it wouldn't be a hate crime if they hit you because you're straight, because you're normal. See, it's all, the whole world's perverted. I mean, we are definitely living in a dumpster. There's no doubt about it. There's some good things. There's some good folks that love the Lord, trying to do right. The best thing we got is this book and Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God in us, and church time. Amen. Praise the Lord. We can come to church and try to anchor the truth and re-anchor the truth every week. But it's not an innocuous thing. It's not like, well, it's no big deal. They just use the rainbow. No, they intentionally chose that. They intentionally chose it. And the devil intentionally loves it because of this. Because that rainbow around that throne is from the light of Christ going through all those different stones. And just, they could never create a rainbow as beautiful as the Lord will with that and has with that. But even the rainbow in the sky, that, guess where it comes from? The sun passing through different things and refracting light. So that's the type. But here he is on the throne in this beautiful, majestic rainbow. And see, what I really don't like about it is I almost don't like to say the word rainbow because of what it connected with in this world. But it's a beautiful thing here. A beautiful, holy thing here that is, it shows the magnificence of our God, the awesomeness of the light of God. And it's just a shame that the world's perverted things like that. Okay, so the Lord Jesus Christ was seated upon the throne. John being caught up to heaven is the type of the rapture. Amen. Because John is the type of the church. Amen. All right, in verse number 8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and the rest, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 God, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. So they were saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And I believe that's what we're going to be saying right before the judgment seat of Christ. We'll probably be saying it face down first. And then we'll probably be, he'll stand us up. I believe he'll have to. And then we'll jump down to verse 11. In verse 11, the 24 elders are saying what? Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Praise the Lord. And we're not going to get into a lot of it tonight on the chapter 5. I'll try to get a handout to you for next week. But I will read down through here just a little bit, and we'll talk more about maybe five and six. I'm not sure how we'll split this up next week. It says, and I saw, verse 1 of chapter 5, and I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of Jesse, hath prevailed to, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. So remember when you're looking in chapter 20, I think it is, we're talking about the great white throne of judgment. The great white throne judgment, it says, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. So we're looking at different books here. Now the Bible, historically, has always had seven seals on it. And if you look at this one, it's got the seals. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Almost all of them do. They've got seven bands around the back. And the Bibles have been covered in black and red. And black because it's a judgment type thing, and red because of the blood of Christ. But this is not talking about the Bible here. I don't believe it's talking about the Bible. It's talking about different books. And I believe this book will be there at the White Throne Judgment. But, and if it is talking about the Bible, which I'm not sure it is, I was thinking about this earlier, and it almost looks like in the beginning, God gave us life in Adam. And then he's offering life or judgment now. And this book is about life and judgment. But this book that he's getting ready to open, this seven-sealed book, is about judgment, period. I mean, what he's going to do is just dump out all these things on the earth. So who is worthy to open that? I'm not. You're not. I'm not a judge-not person, but we're not capable of judge everything everybody's ever done. There's something else interesting I want to talk about for just a second, if I can figure out where it's at. Well, historically, historically they have had. That's it's just the cover thing, the way they... Well, it does, really. Look here, faintly. You see that? 1, 2, 3, 4. Well, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They're lines on yours, kind of. But they use... They used to have, they've historically had a seven. Thank goodness, I thought I had Quran. No. Quran ain't that powerful. Even with the seals off the back of it, that still beats the Quran, hands down. You can take the cover off, and still, it's a Quran ender. Amen. But he's dealing with judgment and them seven seals. So we're not worthy. And we'll get into this a little more. What he's done was, He gave a little bit of prophecy to the Old Testament saints. He gave a little bit to Moses, a little bit to Elijah, a little bit to Daniel. Remember, he told Daniel, he gave him some insight, some prophetic view, and then he said, seal up the vision. Then to John, he starts unsealing the vision. So Daniel didn't have all the vision. And we're going to look at Daniel, talk about Daniel and John mainly because that's what we look at, the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, which is written by John, to give us church age doctrine or prophetic view from church age on. So he gave Daniel a little bit of vision and told him not to even give all the vision that Daniel had. He said, seal up the vision so not everybody has it. And he gave John some vision. Well, this book, with this seven sealed book, looks like every time he opens a seal, he's allowing the prophecy of the Old Testament to happen. So you start seeing the plagues dumped out and all these different things all the way down through the seven seals. The only one worthy to do that is Jesus Christ. And there's something else that's really interesting about that is chapter number... Chapter number 7. I'm just jumping up here. We'll cover all this later. We'll deal with some of this later. But talks about the four seals in chapter 6, five seals. And then the sixth seal all the way down through 6. In chapter 8, he gets to the seventh. Let's see here. Where are we at? Starts the seven the trumpets here at the after seven seal, but look what it says. I'm trying to look for another verse here. Give me 1 second. Anyway, it talks about that seventh seal opening, but look what it says in verse 1 of chapter 8. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. Okay, there's a lot of debate about what that space of a half an hour is, and there are a lot of people who have different opinions, and nobody says they really know what it is. But this is one possibility, I think. After reading this and studying this, I might be wrong. But if you read down through chapter 8, it's talking about the incense and the prayers of the saints. And he's getting ready to dump out the final judgment. There's a possibility in my mind, maybe what if that half hour, as he's determining the exact judgment according to the prayers of the saints. I mean, God's going to judge justly. He's not going to he's determining how he's going to pour out the end judgment, every single aspect of it. What if he's doing that for that half hour? Somehow he's listening to all the prayers of the saints, and when he's talking about the prayers of the saints, it could be the prayer anybody ever prayed that was saved in all time. He could listen to it and make his mind up exactly what he's going to do about that space of a half hour time. And then that seventh day into that judgment comes. And boy, it's on. Man, nothing good happening. But that's just one thought. But there's some reason that half hour is there, and it's just there's silence in heaven. Because, you know, maybe the Lord just shuts everything down, and he's just absorbing all the prayers of the saints and thinking, you ever prayed, Lord, when are you going to fix this? When you go fix this, man? You know, when how are they getting away with this? When you go fix this? And maybe everything you've ever prayed, maybe he'll just, every saint, he'll put it together and he'll judge our intent, the intent of the sinners that we're praying God would take care of, and just say, this is going to be the perfect judgment that I'm getting ready to dump out. And that's what he does for that half hour. I don't know. There's got to be a reason for it. That's just one possibility I'm throwing out there. You might have a better idea than I do, but there's some reason that half hour is there, and that sounds like a reasonable possibility. Amen. But could you imagine that? So, well, I don't know. He just didn't answer some of my prayers. It'll be a half hour there, and God, you know, if God can create everything in 6 days and then take a break, well, he could listen to a lot of prayers in a half hour. Maybe every one of them. Remember also in another part of Revelation, the tribulation folks that were beheaded are saying, how long, O Lord, how long? And they're waiting for him to make it right for what had happened to them in the tribulation for standing up for him. And he said, until the rest of your brethren, basically, until the rest of your brethren are beheaded for the cause. So he does. He is listening to these prayers, and then he is going to answer it. He is going to answer it. But that's just interesting. I mean, it's there for a reason. It says right there about the space of a half an hour for silence in heaven. It's there for a reason. And we might not know 100% sure now, but we will one day.